Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I don't know. I really have no need for them and or want, but might.
They're really cheap.
I know, because you can't sell them anywhere else.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I could sell them at Games Plus Auction, but I'm trying to get, you know,
money.
Real money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would actually probably go for a bit there, because, you know, that's the Grognard place
right.
to buy it at.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they'd want.
Yeah.
They want Japanese.
I was talking with the guys, and they were talking about how, like, they're getting really fed up with, like, a lot of people bringing, like, BS to the auction to sell. Mm. Like, it's getting to the point where they can't sell, like, real stuff because they're selling, like, really crappy foam terrain that's
not really,
you know.
They're not selling product. They're selling some dude's homemade garbage.
Yeah, they're selling essentially people's garbage. Like,
yeah, they should probably disavow handmade items, really.
I mean, well, that was the thing is, like, oh, so last time I brought a dartboard, right? And I was like, I know it's tangentially gaming related. If you guys don't sell it, and if you guys don't want to sell it or don't put it up, just let me know. I'll take it. I thought maybe someone would take it, and they put it up because I guess actually someone did want to buy it. So that was fine. I finally was able to get rid of it out of my house. But I mean, I completely understand their point of view. Like, why would you put up? Like, I guess like some guy brought like a bag full of like bedding, like that the like foam bedding that you put in blankets. And he's like, it's smoke or it's snow. And he's like, no. And they just put it in the garbage. Yeah, it's like, but the sad thing is that people do bid on crap like that, which makes people give them even more impetus to put that garbage in.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I always feel bad for like the people who take the pebble foam from like computers that they open up, like the white pebble foam that a computer's packed in. They're like, it's an imperial fortress. It's a fortress from my space marines.
Space marines.
Yeah, and it's that's what I always I look at that. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna talk to my brother-in-law and just ask him if he'd take Games Plus fucking store credit. Like, I know he doesn't really want to, but he'll be like, hey, would you take Games Plus? Because I bet I could get this stuff sold at Games Plus.
Yeah, because no one else is buying any of this.
I don't know why. Like, I figured the 40K stuff would be a fucking slam dunk, but apparently the fantasy stuff is a slam dunk.
No, I was just talking with a guy I'm doing a campaign with for a different game. And we were talking, and he was telling me, and we were talking about selling 40K stuff. It's like, you can't sell it anymore. It's like, no one's buying.
Yeah.
And I go, mainly because it's cheap plastic crap. Like, it's not even, like,
well, it's reached the failure point.
Yeah.
It's reached the point where, like, people are like, wow, that's a really good deal on those Space Marines, but I don't have the money to complete that army. Like, even though you're selling me this chunk of the army at 50% off or 40% or 60% off or even 70% off, I don't have the money to complete the rest of that army because of workshop pricing.
Yeah. And
like, even on eBay.
I guess that could be a point. I mean, like, you can't even, like, add any of, like, the big tanks because they're all $80.
Right.
You know, like, you have to have a Titan now.
Right. Unless you're selling an actually complete army.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to sell stuff.
Yeah, because I guess, like, nobody... Because infantry's cheap. Like, you can get infantry anywhere.
Yeah.
For next to nothing.
They're all over the place.
Unless it's something like, you know, like Metal Sisters, I'm
sure.
Or
Forge World stuff.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, this guy who was probably selling some of the 40K stuff, it's, you know, he's an older guy, so he probably has a lot of, like, metal Rogue Trader stuff that... Mm-hmm. That's more people are like, oh, this is my precious. Maybe we get some Rogue Trader. I want to have my whole Rogue Trader Imperial
Guard army.
Actually,
I don't know if there's a lot of... I think a lot of those guys just don't play 40K anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could still... Squats still go for a lot. I look it up every once in a while just to confirm the fact that I could sell my squats and make a lot of money.
You should probably sell them sooner rather than later.
No, I don't care. I don't care if the price bottoms out on that. I'm not selling my squats. No. No, Steve.
You've got a problem.
I do have a problem. I have a giant problem. Actually,
it's a small problem because they're squats.
They're squats. They're a tiny problem. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy.
Game Classy.
There you go. And with me, I am Joe. And with me, as always, is the He-Man to my Skeletor, Steve.
I wanted to be Skeletor.
I was watching Masters of the Universe the other day. It was on... one of those like
the Dolph Lundgren movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was like it was on like Palladium or some like higher channel cable, like one of those like weird ones that pop up for a few weeks and then like disappear. Mm. And I was like, Master of the Universe, and I was like, this movie's not as bad as I remember it being. It's actually quite enjoyable.
I don't remember that movie at all.
Oh man, it's there's some really fun parts. Dolph Lundgren, I think, is pretty good. Frank Langella is amazing.
Yeah.
No, he's more like, let this be our final battlefield. You know,
which is lame because Skeletor is supposed to sound like. Skeletor has the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger and the voice of like a whiny nerd.
Out of my way, He-Man! You foiled my plans for the last time!
The Monarch has really spoiled that voice for me.
I mean, the Monarch's just the Skeletor voice.
Yeah, exactly. So. But that's why it spoiled it for me. It's like, the Frank Langella Skeletor is pretty amazing, I'll have to admit. And everything else in that movie is kind of...
He's no Leonard Nimoy Galvatron.
Leonard Nimoy's Galvatron never really did anything for me anyway. Once they got to the G2, like, I know Pat B loves fucking Unicron and
Rodimus
all that stuff.
Prime.
Well, he loves everything with that movie, and I'm just like, I was always like, I don't like any of this new stuff. At 8 years old, I was like, it's too new.
Pre-Grognard.
Yeah. He's like, whatever happened to G1? What was wrong with G1? All of these characters were fine.
They're all dead now. They got killed by Megatron on the spaceship.
Yeah, but I mean...
To instruments of destruction.
To instruments of destruction. No, I didn't care about any of
those.
Dare
to be Stupid was in that movie.
It was. It was with the Junkatrons. Dude.
Yes, voiced by John Cleese.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the Junkatrons.
The leader of the... No, that was Eric Idle, not John Cleese.
Was it Eric Idle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it was a Monty Python guy.
You were correct. It's okay. It's okay.
They're all the same to
it's
me.
Okay.
They all sound the same.
Getting back to what we were talking about earlier with Games Workshop, they officially shit-canned Tomb Kings now.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they officially shit-canned Warhammer Fantasy. So at this point, expect any army that doesn't sell to get gone.
Get gone. Yeah. They're gone.
I would also expect older models to get discontinued as well.
Yeah. Bretonians are.
They'll probably get shit-canned as well.
Yeah. Well, considering that they have, at least Tomb Kings have an 8th edition army book. Bretonians,
right. Haven't had a book since 6th. Yeah. Somehow. And they were still better than the Tomb Kings.
Yeah. Which I never understood. I don't, like, I always thought the Tomb King and the Bretonians had great models. The only ones that I didn't like were the archers, but I mean, even they weren't terrible. Mm. But that range was a beautiful range of figures. Well fleshed out, cool special characters, pretty cool rules, and they just never did anything with them. They were like, meow, and
there were a lot of people who played Bretonians.
Yeah, and it was I thought it was a solid army. Even in 6th edition, it was like a really good army in 6th edition.
It was,
but no.
Considering, I mean, they went from a being in a starter set faction,
to 5th
to being gone. How far the mighty have fallen.
How far the Bretonians have fallen.
But, I mean, it's Warhammer. Workshop doesn't give a fuck about Warhammer.
No, they don't. Now you have to have slayers on top of dragons.
So
lava
stupid.
Dragons.
Those dragons are pretty cool looking. The dwarves look fucking awful.
And the slayers on top of the dragons.
No, don't even.
No.
Don't even.
They're little tiny slayers with flame mohawks riding lava dragons.
They're like Blink 182 fans or something.
Where are you? I'm riding a dragon. All the small things.
That's the reference to their
they
balls.
Because
you can't see them.
Dwarves.
Yeah, no, that was.
Small things were reference to the dwarves.
I was going to say they're small. I was going to say their balls because they're, you know, like non existent, even though they're naked. So.
Yeah, well, you can't have balls on.
Ogre Dick.
This is Steve's new metal band, Ogre Dick.
Ogre Dick, yeah, that's a good one.
That's actually a really good name for a metal band.
I think if depending on which metal, like if I was going to go if I was going to go like really like death metal, I would go Ogre Schmegma.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
I just think Ogre Dick is short enough that it's
Ogre
like,
Dick's definitely a good one though.
That's I mean, of course there's no genre of music which has divided itself into more subgroups than metal.
It's true.
Essentially, where every metal band is its own
genre. I mean, there is a band called Goblin Cock.
Yeah, I mean,
not to be confused with Goblin, who's a very sweet like synth band who did music for Dawn of the Dead, and I think it was Dawn of the Dead. He did a Goblin did a bunch of soundtracks for horror movies, like very like synth heavy. Yeah, Goblin's cool. Good. I like Goblin.
Okay.
Goblin Cock, not so much.
Not so much. No.
Great name. Bad band.
It's like Tangerine Orange, Tangerine Dream.
Tangerine Dream.
doing the soundtrack.
Isn't that Prince?
No, Tangerine Dream was the guys who did soundtrack to Dune and Blade Runner.
Dune's a sweet movie.
Mm-hmm. All I see is an Atreides, and I want him dead.
I like Sting in those diaper thing.
Feud Ratha. Feud Ratha. Fear is the mind killer. All right, so what we got some gaming news to talk about. Do we have any gaming news to talk about?
I mean, not really.
Oh, no, I got a couple things here.
I got nothing.
I took a couple notes over the weekend. Oh, big one. Seven Seas coming back. Do what you want, because a pirate is free.
You are a pirate. Yar, har, fiddle-dee-dee. Being a pirate is all right with me. Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
You are a pirate. All right, so that's all we have to say on Seven Seas.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you ever play Seven Seas?
I played the card game.
You played the card game?
Obviously. Yeah. I played the card game. But it was a very good card game. This one supposedly is going to be a little more fleshed out, but I always thought that role-playing as like just pirates is kind of hard.
Not really
hard, but like narrow. Like, how many sessions can you have of like, you guys are on a boat, you guys attack another boat, you guys are on a boat, you find an island, there's natives, you guys are on a boat, you find another boat. Like,
Well, I mean, D&D is never, like, the boat rules for D&D have never been very good either.
Yeah, but nobody, I don't know. You just don't use the rules.
You never had the blue book, Ships of the Sea?
Whenever we ended up on a boat for D&D, it always was just kind of like hand waved. Like, if there was a fight on the boat, it would always be boarding action.
Yeah.
It would just be, because, I mean, we didn't do like, because D&D's like, there's a weird thing where, you know, D&D's technology level is kind of random, like based on who you're, so.
So it could be like a steamship.
Well, like for our D&D, like they never had cannons.
Okay.
Like the boat, like cannons never existed in our D&D world. Okay. So like,
they had arbalists.
So like, yeah, it was like bull throwers, and then like there would be
ramming
and then boarding.
Yeah.
So most times a fight between boats would just be a fight between crew rather than.
Yeah, well, I mean that makes sense. I was actually just playing. I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed Black Flag the other day just because I kind of wanted to play some pirate boating action. That game did it so well.
I heard that game, the best part about the game is just like piloting your ship around and singing sea shanties.
Absolutely, 100%. I kind of want just a pirate game based on that engine. Just make it a little bit, like, because that was always the cool thing is like, because you'd be like, I'm going around, and all of a sudden, like, you get higher and higher level ships you're going up against. But that would usually be pretty easy to take out. Like, they'd have, like, they had four, like, legendary ships you went up against. And they were, like, super high level, and you had to take them out in a certain way. And there was, like, all these, like, obstacles, like, rogue waves that you'd have to, like, navigate around to take out these ships. It was really cool to do, but, like, once you took them out, it became really, really, really repetitive. And that's saying that for an Assassin's Creed game, it became repetitive. But yeah, I wish they would do something else with that engine because it's real fun to do.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yarr! Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean, of course. I also want them to do something with the Nemesis engine. I've been playing a lot of
Shadows of Mordor.
Shadows of Mordor still. And because I'm playing the endless,
there probably will be more. Like, there'll probably gonna be another Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, lead writer died, or he has cancer or something like that.
I'm aware of.
It's either one of the lead designers, a lead writer, or something like that. But whatever the case, I've been playing because they have the challenges on Steam, and I've been playing those a lot lately. And I think the Nemesis engine can work for other games. It just they gotta find the right.
It could actually work for it could work for like GTA.
Yeah, GTA. I think it could work for Batman. If you want to use the whole fight engine like they currently use, I think it could work for Batman.
I meant the actual like mechanics of like goons leveling up, fighting with one another and rising to the top.
Yeah, I mean, they could work for anything. Like, that's what I was thinking for Batman. Like, why don't they do this for a Batman game instead of
the mob?
Yeah, or you know, like you could have like a couple guys. Like, you start off with the top tier levels like Joker, Penguin, Two-Face, maybe not Catwoman, but whomever, Mad Hatter. Right, you have those four up as your main bosses, and you have their under goons. But as soon as you take out like the Joker, he could be replaced by an under goon, kind of the same way. I think it could work, but yeah, whatever. I think they should. You know what I would love to see? and I was just talking about this with a buddy. Game of Thrones is done in the Arkham City style fight game, except you play as the Hound.
Okay.
So it's you're the Hound. You're going through.
You're just killing a shit ton of people.
Killing a shit ton of people. Like, it takes place right after the Battle of Blackwater. So you're on your own. You're going through the Riverlands, and you know you have to avoid not only Lannister goons, but Brotherhood of the Banner, Brothers Without Banners, and like Stark random people. Like, you have to make your way to try and whatever. You could follow. You could try and get Arya to her mother or wherever, and it can end at the twins at the Red Wedding. But just think about that, if like as you're going through there, it's just you with this huge ass sword, like fucking going nuts on these guys. I mean, granted, you can't do like the flying or the kind of like super combos.
They could do brutal like visceral combat though, where like you punch a dude and he gets like staggered, and then you tackle him to the ground and like punch his face into a burger.
Wouldn't that be fucking amazing? That'd be cool. And you have and of course you have the goons, like you could have like random outlaws or whatever else have you
trying to get you.
Yeah. Oh, I think it'd be so cool.
Yeah, that could work.
Yes. Anyway, back to 7C.
Thought we covered that already.
we sang the pirate song. I know. I was just talking with because I had the RPG back in the day. I never played it. I never got anybody who was interested in playing it. But I read through it numerous times, and I really liked the system. I think the idea was good, because it wasn't just there was a lot more political intrigue in it than just going on a pirate ship and going around. I'm sure that's what a lot of people like.
Political intrigue is generally not fun to roleplay.
I don't know. It can be.
I did say generally.
Yeah, you have to have that's a DM thing. It's not like a player.
It's also a very, very heavily playgroup thing. Like, a lot of people are very bored by like just talking and not actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
You know, it's like opening your movie with the Galactic Senate.
To be fair, he never actually opened up with the Galactic Senate.
Whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. He opened up with trade negotiations.
I have a very bad feeling about this. Oh, the first line, Lucas. Really great. Good job. I actually just watched Ex Machina last night. Speaking of characters from Star Wars.
You know what would be good for a first line? You have a giant space battle going on, and you have Obi-Wan looking out the window and going like, Star Wars. That would have been a good opening line.
That would have been good.
I heard Ex Machina was good.
Have you not seen it yet?
No. I saw Deadpool.
Oh, yeah?
I saw
good,
that yesterday.
Good, bad.
I liked it a lot.
Don't spoil too much.
Spoiler, it's really good.
Okay. Because I'm going to see it on Monday, and then me and Kevin are going to do comic book logic for it.
Yeah, so. All I can say is, spoiler, it's really good.
That works. I'm anxious to see it. But Ex Machina, no, it's a good sci-fi movie.
I wanted to see it because it looked like there was going to be a sweet robot human fuck scene, but apparently that doesn't happen.
No, not really.
So like, I kind of lost interest. Like legitimately, I was like, "Fuck yeah, I want to watch this dude fuck a robot." And then someone told me it doesn't happen, and I was just like,
"No, it don't happen." I like artificial intelligence movies though. Like that's
like
one
AI.
Yeah, well, no, not AI, but
yeah. Well, I didn't think AI was that bad. Creepy ass fucking Haley Joel Osment. Yeah.
No, but I like headier sci-fi movies. Like, I like my sci-fi and very...
Yeah, I wanted the movie to be where the robot was giving him head. Yeah.
No, I like my sci-fi... My sci-fi movies have to be one of two things. They have to be either, like, super action-y, adventure-y, like, Episode 7. Like, where it's just, like, we don't care about any of the actual science. It's just lasers and spaceships and... Or I want it, like, super fucking heady, like Moon or... Ex Machina. That's like where I want the two. It's very hard for me to like anything in the middle, and that's where stuff like Event Horizon or
I love Event Horizon.
I like it, but it's not
Event Horizon is not a sci-fi movie. That's a horror movie.
Yeah,
in space.
Yeah,
it's more of like a Cthulhu movie in space.
Yeah,
you know, and I would like someone to correct me if I'm wrong, but if they do correct me, it's probably really shitty because I haven't heard of it.
What?
But I don't believe there's ever been a zombie sci-fi movie.
I'm sure there has.
No. I'm sure there's a shitty one.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of it. But, like, I want, like, a legit, like, maybe not Dawn of the Dead level, but, like, a good zombie sci-fi movie. I imagine if they ever make a movie out of Dead Space, it would just be that. Because that's basically what Dead Space is. They're scarier. Necromorphs are scarier than zombies, but same kind of idea.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that seems like a an easy, like a space station full of zombies, like, seems like a thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that that doesn't exist as is.
Right.
Not that I could think of anything in particular like that.
But. Right. It just, like, would be, you know, like, it seems like it would be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, oh, what's that that Danny Boyle movie where they go to the restart the sun?
I think it's called Sunshine.
Yes, Sunshine. Yeah.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that movie starts great and then has, like, a really weird left turn and then is not good. And then when the left turn is resolved, the movie gets good again.
Yeah, I mean, that's like in that weird middle thing where it tries to be
The left turn is a huge spoiler, so I won't say it, but, like, it's a stupid fucking spoiler.
Where it tries to get too action-y, adventure-y,
right,
and it's not enough of the science for me. Like,
it didn't fit the theme of the movie. Like, the entire movie was, like, theme A, and then suddenly they're like, well, here's also theme Z. We're going to throw that into the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was way too in the middle for, like, I like heady sci-fi or action-adventure sci-fi. I don't like quite in the middle. Yeah.
It's... What about Outland?
Outlander!
Not Outlander.
I know, Outland.
Outland.
Yeah, sorry.
It's really slow, and then suddenly everyone's head starts exploding.
Yeah. I put, like, Outland and, like...
I'm in this penal colony in space.
Yeah, that's a weird one. It's kind of like in the...
I like Outland.
But it's in that weird, like, 70s vein of, like, I don't quite know where to do with it.
It's got a sick payoff. For sitting through that movie, you're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah. It does. It's just not one that I think about that quite that often. So,
I think of Outland frequently when I think of sci-fi because I kept trying to watch it many, many years ago. I kept trying to watch Outland, and I'd always start it, like, really late, and I'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I'd be, like, 20 minutes into it, and I'd just be... just sleeping, and I watched it so many times to try and complete it, and I was like, fuck, I can't, because I never remember what was going on, so I had to restart it every time. And then one point I finally watched it in the middle of the day and watched the whole thing, and I was like, man, really wish I didn't keep falling asleep during this movie.
Ooh, excuse me.
I recommend Outland.
I recommend Zardoz.
Zardoz is pretty out there.
Speaking of Sean Connery movies.
If you're really interested in seeing Sean Connery in panties, then Zardoz is for you.
If you want to see him wearing the
Mila... who isn't interested in seeing Sean Connery in panties?
If you want to see him wearing the Mila Jovovich outfit from Fifth Element.
Mila Jovovich.
Okay. So, you know, there's like a weird conspiracy about her online, about her age. Like, no one can ever peg down, like, what her real age is.
She's probably in her 40s.
I know, but the thing is, like, no one knows exactly her age. Because it, like, consistently changes. I don't know. If I had more information on it, I would tell you.
Yeah, I know nothing about this conspiracy.
It's better than the Bristol Palin birth conspiracy.
I don't even know what that is.
Look it up. It's worth your time.
I don't want to.
I didn't know that the guy who did Seven Seas' name was John Wick. John Wick,
dude, he's gonna get vengeance for that dog.
Vengeance for the, so he's gonna start a Seven Seas Kickstarter. But I mean, it's actually kind of cheap too. It's $40 for the main rule book. Why not? I mean, if it's a classic,
I'll tell you why not. Faith, the sci-fi RPG. That's why not.
Oh,
save
yeah,
your money for that.
you've been hyping that one. You've been acting as the Flava Flav hype man on
that
one.
Yeah, my boner for that has exploded.
Why is so much on that one?
So there's multiple reasons. There's a multitude, and it's from every angle. I'm excited about the game. I'm excited about it from a business perspective. I'm excited about it from a player's perspective. I'm excited about it as an RPG enthusiast perspective.
Okay, I'm a guy who knows none of this stuff. Sell me the game.
Well, first of all, it's a giant box. It's like a big box set.
Okay.
$80 MSRP.
Okay.
Which is actually only $30 higher than a D&D player's handbook. So,
okay.
I mean, Amazon discount out aside, but like MSRP. The game has board game components instead of a character sheet.
Okay.
And it uses cards instead of dice.
Okay.
So when you get your character, I hand you a board, and there's like a selection of pictures you can choose from, what your character looks like, and where your stats are. I give you a bunch of numbers from like little punched out numbers.
Okay.
And you socket those into your board.
Okay.
Like it's a board game. And that's your character sheet. So okay. When you need to reference your character sheet, you look at your board. So it's the board game components. And then when you get an item, I give you a card that says like power gauntlet. And it has the rules for the power gauntlet on the card. You put that next to your sheet. Shows you your equipment. It like slots in so you can see exactly what the bonuses are from the items you're carrying. Special rules, a reminder token you put on your board, you flip it over and you're like, oh, I can do that. So enhanced sensors. It'll say enhanced sensors on one side and you're like, oh yeah, what's that doing? On the other side, it's like, this is the rule it does. And you're like, oh, cool. So It's got more of a tactile, like easy reference thing. So like people who aren't into RPGs can easily access that. Like you don't have to. One of the worst things about, you know, D&D and like other games like that have a lot of inventory management or special items is, you know, your only experience with that item is writing it down on your character sheet. You know, it's like, you know, ring of bashing is like what's on your character sheet. And it's like, oh, yeah, what's that thing do? It's like, oh, OK, yeah, I got to write all this shit down that it does. And when you use it, you look and you're like, oh, and you're likely to forget stuff. Like I've had people forget that they had like a bunch of things just because there's so much shit they're carrying. They forgot that they had that one narrow item that would be great. This one kind of eliminates that by having all of your items in full view. You know, that monsters, NPCs, enemies are also from a deck of cards. So when I say you're fighting, I like slap down three cards. You see the stats of what you're fighting. So you know that there's two guys who are good at range, a guy who is good at melee. So you don't like run up and like, I'm going to punch the guy who's really good at swords and I'm mediocre. The way combat works and any tests work is, first of all, if your character has the skill, he succeeds. Unless I want to stop you. If I think it's interesting that you would fail, like as the DM.
Okay.
Or if there's a reason it would be interesting that you failed. So example, you're a computer hacker and you've successfully broken into a, you didn't say it.
Oh, I'm hacking into the mainframe. I'm in.
There you go. I'm in. Yeah, that's the fucking worst. So say you're a computer hacker and you've broken into like you've broken into like some super rich fucker's house, like a corporate owner, and you like no one's there, like you bypass the security and you're hacking his computer. Well, in my case, I'd be like, you succeed, like you do that, like you get the information you're looking for. Now, let's say you're in a building that has a lot of security, and if they detect you hacking, there's gonna be a fucking security patrol coming after your ass. Then I go, okay, well now I'm gonna put a challenge in front of you. So then I play a card because the DM also has a deck of cards. So I play a card down. I'm like, it's a 7, and there's one more card I can play. And you know what? Your hacking skill is a 3, and you're like, okay, well, I'll put a 5 down because my 5 and my hacking skill is an 8. That's greater than the 7. Then as the DM, I can play another card and be like, okay, here's a 6. And then if you want to pass, you have to beat that 6.
Hmm.
And then you pass the test, you negate it. Or do you want to save your card? Like maybe your cards in hand are really high and you're just like, I'm going to save this for the combat. And it's like, fine, you know, you relent.
Okay. I kind of like that idea. That idea sounds good to me. So far, it's like, I'm like, okay, it sounds pretty standard for a lot of it. I mean, like, I like the idea of the card punch and like having cards and stuff like that. As a player, that might get a little too fiddly because you have to keep that up every session. Like, you'd have to make sure that your board stays the same.
I haven't seen the components in person.
Yeah.
But it looks like they plug in.
Okay.
Like, it's not like they're resting and, like, if you tip the board, it falls over.
Yeah, that's
it's
what I was...
It's actually, like, a slot you, like, slot the token into.
Okay.
So, like, things don't fall out.
Because, I mean, that's always been the nice thing about a character sheet is the character sheet's just a piece of paper. You
right.
stick it in a folder, you're fine.
This is kind of the same thing. Like, you just stack them up and put them in the book.
You stick it in your biology textbook, and then when it accidentally falls out and the jack sees it, he's like, what's this nerd face? And you're like,
that's my cleric. That's my cleric. Don't touch my cleric.
What's a cleric, Poindexter?
He's a
holy man.
He's a holy man who uses his magic for healing, and his combat's usually just melee.
No,
and
he hits things with a mace.
His melee is not really using bladed weapons.
I hit things with a mace.
Holy man shouldn't use weapons at all, nerd. Pick a warrior or a wizard. Choose a side, loser. Check out Poindexter over
and then
here.
The decks just go to yeah. you just take the cards and you stick it with your deck. I'm excited to see what the actual components are so I can give a complete review after, you know, seeing the game.
Yeah.
But conceptually it's great. Advantages
is
advantage
it,
is
it
another
its
thing
own
it
word?
Has. It's its own world.
Okay.
Yeah. It's its own thing. The game also has an advantage disadvantage system. It has like when you have a skill, there's like a cap. So there's two things. So there's how there's your skills determine your character determines how many cards you can play and what your bonus is. So the max is 3. So the maximum amount of cards you can ever play in a situation is 3.
Okay.
Then when you are... Items can give you a number of advantages. And role-playing well can also give you advantages. When there's a contested action, So the DM, when they do, like, if you're trying to hack or lockpick or use a skill and the DM's contesting, he always has two, he or she always has two advantages. So if you're trying to hack, I have two advantages, which means if you don't have any advantages to the skill, I'm going to be the advantaged party. Now, the difference between the advantages and disadvantages, the actual number of advantages don't matter. It's just who is higher at the end of the day. And the losing side takes a minus one penalty on how many cards they can play. So if you could play three, you can only play two. If you could play two, you can only play one. And I believe if you can only play one, you can no longer play a card, so you're on raw skill.
Nice.
Which is very bad, which means you're probably going to fail. I believe. It might be to a minimum of one, but I'm not certain on that. I don't remember. I read the rules, but I only read them once. I haven't insorbed them.
Insorbed them?
Yes.
While you were talking, it reminded me of something. I'm going to try and bring it up real quick. We got a new review on our podcast.
Oh, on iTunes?
On iTunes.
Oh, man.
Major Havoc, just recently, February 4th, wrote, they seem to have plenty of negative things to say, and they can't seem to focus. And in some cases, they love to hate on things. Often Games Workshop. I guess the classy part was sarcasm.
Yay!
One star review.
Yay! Thanks, General Havoc.
Major Havoc. You're giving him far too much credit.
I didn't mean to give him that undue promotion.
Battlefield promotion right there. It's like, yes,
they didn't talk about 40K tactics for 3 hours.
Yes. To answer your question, Major Havoc, if you are listening to this, the classy part is sarcastic.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know, like the level, like, it's like watching the young ones and you're like, none of these characters are actually young. They're all in their 40s. Yes, we understand that's part of the joke.
Yeah.
We'll
never be a popular gaming podcast because we're not like the popular gaming podcast. The popular gaming podcasts are awful.
Yeah, they're all like, why are you playing a cleric, nerd?
They're the fucking 3 hour, like 40K tacticas. Like,
I was really like thinking about taking the bolters, but I really took the Melticon instead and just blah.
And it's like, wow, you talk about fucking Space Marines for 3 fucking hours straight. Thanks, dildo.
Yeah, people still like it, though.
Yeah, I know. People like it. But people like terrible things. The most popular person on YouTube is PewDiePie. Pee-wee Dee Dee. Like, that dude, all he does is flail around, has a stupid accent, and screams. Like, he's the number one by a fucking landslide.
One of the things that...
people gravitate towards shit.
Have you...
And then shit rolls downhill and collects more shit and gets bigger. And then there's a giant mountainous shit turd that some people look at and go like, I should probably get out of the way of that, but I don't know, maybe they're having fun. And then they get rolled over by the shit turd.
Well, I was... You know, because YouTube just opened up like that subscription service that
they're doing. It's bombing horribly.
Yeah. But I think part of the interest in that is, and like I've been reading a couple articles on this, and this is just like my own sake of interest on this, is that a lot of these like super popular YouTube channels, like, and that hypothetically PewDiePie, they actually don't like have that many like people who watch it on a regular basis. It's like a lot of that is like, I guess people just sub for no reason. Like they just like, oh, I like this sub. And then they never watch anything else that the person
right.
does again.
The subscriber count is always an inflated amount of people who are actually watching your videos. But, for example, like the Fine Brothers, those pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just heard about that, too.
Yeah, that thing's blowing up in their fucking face. They've lost almost 1.5 million subscribers.
But the thing is like when you lose 1.5 million, it's just people who are like, I don't like this guy. I'm unsubbing them.
It will correlate to views because here's the thing. They have their channel had like 14 million and counting. Yeah. They're on the way to losing that many subscribers. It's like 13 million and something now.
Yeah.
But when their channel had 14 million subscribers, their videos were averaging, give or take, 6 million hits, like in like the time frame. Like,
yeah.
Because videos get hit, like it's hard to judge, not hard to judge, but like videos, the amount of hits a video get, you know, changes because how long has the video been out? Is it still viral? Like, is it still a meme? Like, can you reference, like, Ice JJ Fish. Ice JJ Fish's video has 45 million hits. Like,
I have no idea what Ice JJ Fish's video is.
Oh, I'll show you.
I don't get YouTube, man. I don't get YouTube.
That's just the internet.
I don't get
the internet.
I don't get the internet. I like having political discourse with people who hate unions on Reddit. That's what happens to me.
Sounds.
I could change this guy's opinion with classic.
Yeah,
with,
no, you can't.
I have to stop myself because I'm like, I could change this guy's opinion with rationalized thought. You can't change this guy's opinion.
I actually had a. I was talking to someone about how like what I like to argue about and what I like to chit chat about and stuff and like complain, etc. And I said, like, I'm very, very careful about it. And I don't think I really break my rule here. But I try never to argue with someone who is objectively wrong.
That's
because if they believe something that is objectively wrong and they're like my age or my peer, if they've gotten to this point in their life vehemently believing something that is just objectively wrong, nothing I do or say will ever change their mind.
Yeah.
If you said, I believe the earth is flat, there is nothing I could do or say to convince you otherwise, because you have come to that conclusion in defiance of the infinite evidence to the contrary. And you're just like, nope, it's a big conspiracy. The earth is flat. I can't convince you otherwise. So arguing that point to you is a waste of time.
No, yeah.
Like, and people and political arguments, for the most part, are actually objective and not subjective. Like, do people deserve human rights? Yes, they objectively deserve human rights. But you have a lot of people on the more conservative end of the spectrum who are like, no, they don't. And you're like, well, that's objectively wrong. I can't argue with you because you're insane.
What is one of the so I found someone that
which is why I like arguing about superheroes.
Yeah,
I'm like, your superhero's stupid because it's all opinion.
Yeah. I found a guy who I know on Reddit. I found his username just because I happened to see he posted an article on Reddit, and it was an article that I know he posted somewhere else. I was like, oh, that's this guy's username. So I went and I looked at his history just to kind of look at some of the other stuff he's posted, and it was like all like really like crazy red pillar stuff and like defending like the pro rape groups, and I'm like, oh, this guy's bad. I'm not gonna talk to this guy ever again.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not. This is bad.
Oh yeah, they're fucking ridiculous. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you can't argue people who are objectively wrong, and even sometimes on some things like even on some things like if it's a movement or a group or whatever, they might actually have a couple of valid points. However, if the total number of points in your movement is 100, and you have two that are legitimate and 98 that are not, your movement is not legitimate.
Yeah, no, it's like going to a what would be a good example of this? It's
like I'd say Gamergate would be the example for me, because there are like two good points that Gamergate has, and then there's 98 plus that are not.
to give people a visual, it's like going to a party, and when you go inside the party, there's two really really attractive girls at the party, and 98 guys dressed like juggalos.
Also, they have trilbies.
But no, they got the full juggalo face paint, everything, the drink of the Faygo.
And trilbies,
they're wearing trilbies. And you're just like, yeah, these are two really attractive girls. 98
way
juggalos.
Too many juggalos.
There's way too many juggalos.
I'm going to just leave.
I'm going to go. I thought Nikki was coming over here. I thought she was coming to defend the juggalos.
Nobody's defending the juggalos.
Nobody's.
No one defends the juggalos.
Was there no one to defend the juggalos?
Yeah, other juggalos.
Exactly. Let's go on. Another Kickstarter that's actually making a lot of money, and you talked about this a little bit on the Facebook page, is Cyanide and Happiness has their Kickstarter coming out, because Oatmeal has one. Might as well have Cyanide and Happiness. And this one, it's just... It's,
2 points. One, Cyanide and Happiness. Yes, it's actually funny. Two, he draws worse than the Oatmeal guy, who already draws really shitty.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea, but it's just a physical form of their comic strip generator. So the game basically works. It's like apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity. So it'd be fun for like 3 sessions, and then you'll be really bored with it if you have any sense of humor. But yeah, you get whoever's turn it is.
I find those games all work as good drunk party games.
Yeah, but I mean, you get like 3 or 4. So
if you're drunk enough, you can play it as many times as you want.
It's basically a 3-strip comic game. You get one, and each panel is a card. So you put down the judge puts down the first card. Then I think it's like he puts to pick the second card that will go to it, and then everyone around the table p- picks what would be the punchline card, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of fun to do like a punchline thing.
I don't hate the game conceptually.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking about this and outright I'm just like, oh, this is stupid. This is just Cards Against Humanity. But then I thought about it. I'm like, the point of Cards Against Humanity is to do like the most, what people would think would be the most offensive thing.
Well, it's to pander to the judge. I think you would think that
Grandma's gonna find the biggest blackest dick hysterical.
Right. Yeah. Grandma's gonna find that really funny. I'm gonna save that for grandma.
Yeah. But this
and
one
for Joe, I'll save Henry Kissinger.
That is joke be very funny.
But yeah, but I like the idea of coming up with an objectively funny, making an objectively funny three panel cartoon. I think that concept works on a little bit of a higher level than the straight up Cards Against Humanity, but I don't think it'll be as popular as Cards Against Humanity, because Cards Against Humanity is all about just going for the lowest common denominator joke. This one is actually about constructing a funny joke.
Right.
And I think that takes a little bit more talent, a little bit more skill. So, but I mean, it's not perfect, but I think it's an interesting game. It's kind of cheap.
I can't vehemently stand against the cyanide and happiness guy, because like I said, he's got some funny jokes, but like, man, I really dislike when people get like very successful and they draw like shit. And like their craft is drawing, and like they're really successful and they draw terribly. Like that always like irks the shit out of me, because I see artists who like Altered, perfect example. Altered's decently popular.
I just got a text from my wife saying that her sister's coming over with my nieces, and
you're very excited about it.
I'm like, we're gonna order pizza and let the kids play. And I'm like, is there anything I can do that's not this? I gotta come up with something quick.
Hashtag wrecked. Altered draws infinitely better than Cyanide and Happiness Guy,
yeah,
and is very funny. So like when I see someone who's in my opinion, much better at everything that the other person is doing, and they're less successful, it always irks me. It's just like, fuck. It's like, this guy draws better than you, and he's funnier.
Yeah, I mean, but the I don't know. I talked about this on Comic Book Logic. I'm a big comic strip fan, so like, growing up, I always read the comic section of the newspaper.
The funnies.
Always read the funnies.
Right, but the funnies are all drawn better than Cyanide and Happiness.
And that's the thing that I find...
Cyanide and Happiness are fucking stick figures.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of find funny about how modern-day webcomics work, is that it used to be about the talent behind, you would have to draw something very well and you'd have to craft a funny joke.
Or at least do decently in like the cartooning style. Like,
yeah,
like Dilbert is a simple cartoon, like looks simple, but Dilbert works. And like, I wouldn't call Dilbert bad. Like I wouldn't call the illustration Dilbert. It's simple,
yeah,
but it's not bad. It's not stick figures.
But Dilbert's even Dilbert is more modern than like the majority of the comics in the paper.
Well, sure, like Marmaduke and, you know, like the old shit.
Marmaduke is an asshole.
Marmaduke's old as fuck, too.
Well, yeah.
That dog should have been dead a long time ago.
Well, it is a Great Dane. They only live like 7 years.
Exactly.
But I find that about modern-day webcomics is that the drawing style doesn't matter. I mean, it's beneficial to have a nicely drawn comic.
It could be shit.
Yeah, but it's all about...
I mean, a lot of them are shit.
But it's all about crafting the joke, which is the main part. And that's the thing, is like a lot of the people who draw very well often don't let their comics go for a very long time because it's very time consuming. I mean, look at what's that guy's name? The one who does like the really, really, really fancy cartoons, and like they're like
Bill Watterson.
No, they're like painted almost. He hasn't done one in a long ass time. He's the guy who did Weeaboo for the first time.
The Perry Bible Fellowship.
Perry Bible Fellowship. Yeah,
yeah.
His stuff is
fantastic.
Gorgeous, yeah. And it's like. But he doesn't do it that often because
he used to. Well, yeah. He used to have an update schedule. He like retired from it. I don't know what he's doing now.
I mean,
but
yeah,
just didn't want to do it anymore.
I mean, there's
Weeaboo.
Weeaboo. What was it? It was like,
and if you'll see the fiscal quarter here, it moves down to Weeaboo. And he's like, and like, did somebody say Weeaboo?
What is it? Pro scub and anti scub?
Yeah, anti scub and pro scub. Just tubs that says scub and not scub. That's funny.
That guy was genius.
Absolutely. I mean, he still makes comics every so often.
Yeah, and there's actually a guy who...
I, too, have lost a kingdom.
He gets arrested. There's like, a couple who have done, like, incredibly beautiful...
And the one with the bees. Careful, she wields the chaos grid, and it's a fucking electrified fly swatter.
The chaos grid.
The chaos grid. And the bees are all fucking, like, medieval. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That is, God damn.
God damn.
Yeah,
no,
good stuff.
There's a couple I can't really think of a lot of their names, but they often fall behind because they're so well drawn. It's very hard to do weekly, let alone daily, like some of these guys do, like Bill Watterson did.
All the other comic strip artists hated Bill Watterson because he like did in his work was super high end.
Yeah, and he never sold out. Never sold any of the rights to any of it. All right, so
yet there still managed to be a million billion Calvins pissing on things.
Well, everyone always stole that. Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, the Calvin and Hobbes jumping on the trampoline, is also the most possibly the most pirated image in all of comicdom for T-shirts and stuff.
Oh yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Kickstarter too. Have you seen this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Zombicide.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not cool. It's IDW doing it.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be like the Ghostbusters game or, you know, it's not actually Zombicide. I heard the review of the Ghostbusters game is thus, the basic difficulty is very, very easy and the hard difficulty is impossible. That's what I heard. I heard it's a fun game, though.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It looks very, very cool. Yeah. And like it's, you know what it looks like? It looks like one
I'm
of those.
Terrified beyond capacity for all rational thought.
Don't cross the stream. It looks like one of those games that if you want to do a Zombicide game, this would be the game you focus on. You get all your figures. You get someone to paint them up really nicely.
Or Black Plague.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those games. It's like if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this is one of those games where you buy in the Kickstarter, you get all the shit, you get someone to paint up really nicely, and you treat that very nicely, and that is your Zombicide-style game.
I don't think I'd paint it. I don't think I'd even get it painted. I think like board game components are like.
But I'm saying like
I'm a fan of like doing the what the plan is like for Kingdom Death. I'm gonna do the entire thing as a sepia tone.
Yeah, why don't you just open up the box so we can see it?
Sorry, can't wait for you. All right, I have to wait for someone else.
Is it Jesus?
It is Jesus.
Nice.
So the idea I've got for that is I'm just gonna spray it white and then just wash it sepia.
It comes in a pizza box.
Finally. So I'm just gonna spray it white and then wash it sepia. Call it a daisy.
Oh my god, that hurts my soul.
Good. I mean if it also control you on top of being easy for me, like I'm excited.
Consider me trolled.
Yay! Yeah, that's what I would do for the Ninja Turtles. I would spray paint them if they're not already green, I would spray paint them green and wash them green. And then for the enemies, the foot soldiers, I would spray them purple and wash them black. Call it a daisy.
So some of the things that I do like about this, I like that it comes with not only the regular Ninja Turtles, but it also comes with a Kevin Eastman and Kevin Eastman variant. So it looks like the original comic book
the stocky
turtles.
Black and white turtles.
Yeah, the stocky. Well,
so those
yeah.
I would spray white and wash black.
Oh, I mean, that would be kind of cool
also,
to do.
Also, call it a daisy.
That actually would be kind of nice to do. It's because a buddy of mine, Dwayne, is doing like his Adepticon army for Bolt Action in black and white. Like, it's just, he's doing Germans, he's doing them all in a black and white, like...
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone should paint their, you know, paint their models, like,
yeah.
correctly,
I mean,
I guess,
it's very nicely done, and it's, like, it's stylized, it's not, like, just paint, spray white,
right.
and, like... With,
it's like the Von Karstein black and white army that someone was always talking about doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's very cool, and I think that would be actually kind of cool to do with the Eastman Turtles.
But the board games generally have so many components, and
yeah.
you're only going to play it when you're playing the board game. I think... spending a lot of time to get it painted unless you're using it constantly.
Well, like, this is what I say. It's
even
like,
then, like, they're going to take a lot of, like, you know, play damage is going to be a thing. So, like, I don't know. I would get annoyed, like...
No, this is... Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
I can't.
A normal human being, not us, you know, someone who's only going to have... Like, this is their Zombicide. This, like, oh, I just say that, like, it's that style of game. They're going to have one of those. And I would say... You know, you could be Ghostbusters, you could do Turtles, you could do Zombicide, you could do Black Plague, whatever you're going to do, there's going to be one of them that you want to do. Or, you know, the one that Dragonforge did, any of those. So you pick the one that you're going to do, you focus on only that one, you get those figures painted, and that's your game. That's the only... So anytime you want to play a game like that, You use just those figures that you already have painted up. You treat it nicely. Something like that. Now, that's almost impossible to do with Zombicide because there's so many Zombicides. So you'd constantly have to add more stuff to it. But I'm saying it wouldn't take that much effort to do just that. I
think it would take a Herculean effort to do Zombicide.
Well, yeah, but I mean just like the turtle game.
Oh, until the next one comes. Well, or the expansions.
I don't know if they're going to do that. But
that's the thing. You don't know. So it's like.
I mean, a good example of that is.
I guess I care a lot less about the aesthetics of something I'm playing as a board game.
Yeah.
Because the majority of its life is going to be in its box in the closet or in its box on the game shelf.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put it in a display shelf, that's a different thing. But I don't think anyone's displaying their board game figures.
I mean, they would if they're painted. They're nicely painted.
Would they? A lot of them are the same sculpt.
I have my stuff displayed.
It's like there's a lot.
If I painted it, it's displayed.
Like zombies in Zombicide. We'll use that again. You know, most of them are doing the left arm kind of forward, right arm really forward. Like there's 50 of those.
Yeah.
So I don't really.
Well, I mean, I know I know Cliff.
Maybe the heroes. Paint the heroes.
Cliff does all of his Imperial Assault figures. Those are all painted. So, and that's what he's focusing on is just the Imperial Assault. And I guess because the expansions come out so slowly, I guess you probably could keep up with that if you just did your basic thing. He just put up on Facebook that he painted a Scout.
E-Web Gunner?
Yes. I was like, Scout Troopers, they're the Emperor's B-Team.
I don't know. I think that's silly.
Well,
I mean, more power to you. You do whatever you want with your figures, but it just seems like... Yeah,
I don't know. I see figures. I'm just like, these must be painted. I saw at a Half Price Books the other day. I saw a copy of X-Men Danger Room, the board game that came with all of the X-Men, the little statues of the X-Men. And I was like,
X-Men.
I would love to buy that and just and paint those figures because I painted a set of those a long ass time ago in a very early commission I did. I would love to redo that and make it look nice. But I was like, but the box was $45, and I'm like, fuck no, not for that.
The Danger Room,
or Escape from the Danger Room, whatever it was called. But
the Danger Room,
because the people who did the Batman game, the Arkham Asylum miniatures or Arkham City miniatures, they're doing a Marvel Universe game now.
Night Models.
Mm-hmm. Night Models. Thank you. Oh God, their rules are just so nigh incomprehensible.
Well, yeah, I mean they're Google translated Spanish rules.
And
they're the first edition of Infinity.
And the problem on top of that is that you have so you get your Colossus figure. Are you going to paint Colossus in any way other than how he looks in the comic? No.
No. So I'm just going to leave him like that and paint his clothes because he looks like metal.
But I mean, okay, so
yeah.
Let's say you get Cyclops. Are you going to paint him any other way besides how Cyclops looks in the comic?
I mean, you could paint him with the black outfit instead of the blue one, or the blue one instead of the black one.
But I mean. It's going to be exactly the same as it looks in the comic, even if you paint the black outfit or the blue outfit.
Yeah, I mean, most likely. You're probably not going to paint them purple.
So why don't they just come fucking pre-paint it?
Because they're metal.
Oh, it's so stupid. It's such a stupid... For the amount of money you're paying on those figures, it's like...
X-Men.
Why even bother?
Well, the amount of money you're paying would have to imply that someone is actually buying them. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Finally, before we go, two deaths, right? Wayne England,
epic artist.
He did the classic
Chaos Space Marines.
Codex,
third edition.
That's the one I just pulled up.
Yeah, and then he also did the Servants of Chaos, I think.
Champions of Chaos.
Yeah, with the dude with the gauntlet.
Yeah, that was
the lightning in his eyes. That was a sick ass cover too.
Yeah, no, he just did a lot of
magic cards. Johnny Vengeance, a shit ton of magic cards. He did D&D stuff. The dude was in if you played a game, you've probably seen his art.
Yeah, and his artwork it's pretty iconic. It's fun and iconic. It's not like I always think of Elmore, Gary Elmore. I look at his artwork because it pops up every once in a while because I like getting real prints of art of fantasy art. And I'm just I see Elmore's art. And I'm just ugh, I hate the way this looks.
Elmore's pretty classic high fantasy. He's no Boris Vallejo, but
it's classic high fantasy. But it just does nothing for me. I like stuff like Brahm or Vallejo.
Yeah, Brahm's awesome.
Or
Brahm is my favorite fantasy artist.
Brahm, of course he is. You love the muscle. You love that mass ratio.
It's good stuff. I don't. He does draw some buff women.
Yeah, I mean, and
of course Giger is my favorite artist, but
yeah, I mean,
But Gear, I wouldn't say he's a fantasy artist.
Yeah. I mean, he's a genre artist.
Yeah.
But he's not like one of those guys that does stuff for like games.
Nah, he just did whatever random shit he did.
Yes. I'm going to paint this, and this is what I would like to paint, because it's a giant penis with teeth.
No, it never has teeth.
Didn't the xenomorph have teeth?
Yeah, but it also had a dick.
Yeah.
But the dick didn't have teeth.
Well, but I'm saying, it's like, the xenomorph's head was a giant penis.
No, well, see, sort of. Like, it kind of looked like that, but it actually, like, the original tail was a big dick it was holding
over
its head.
Yeah, it was like,
head.
It's just but dicks it wasn't on top head. Of dicks.
There's a lot of dicks.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not arguing that there wasn't more penises on there, but the head of the xenomorph was pretty penis-y.
Penis-y, but it didn't actually have that. Like, most of the time when he put a dick in something, it had the head.
Yeah.
The back of the alien's head didn't have the dick head, the head of the dick.
Well, yeah, no, it's like the alien eggs were giant labias, but they didn't actually have a clitoris
on them. They were
them.
Just onesies, and then they complained, the Catholic Church complained, so he made them doubled.
Well, yeah, because
Giger hated the Catholics.
Well, I mean, I understand his art, but I'm just saying, it's like, it doesn't have to be anatomically correct in order for it to be a penis, is what I'm saying.
Or does it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's a Georgia O'Keeffe vagina orchid from her that's displayed in museums, but what was I going to say? Are you eating a can of cheese?
This is a butterscotch protein pudding.
Oh, okay. It looks like nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah, it's butterscotch color.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you do eat on the podcast. You couldn't wait the like literal 3 minutes before we're done with this.
I mean, I'm not eating into the mic.
Well, what's the other artist who died? I guess he did the Black Lotus.
Christopher Rush. He did a bunch of busted ass fucking magic cards. Yep. Lightning Bolt, Black Lotus, Ancestral Recall. He did a ton of stuff. Classic magic artist from the early 90s.
Yeah, and he died too. I mean, like, I understand, like, people are like, oh, 2016 sucks so bad. So many people have died. I'm like, you know, people die all the time. And, you know, you could be sad about it for a little bit, put your memoriam, but don't blame 2016 for this. I would just blame the fact that human beings die.
Well, it's a lot of artists dying very close together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people that we tend to care about, you know, like if it was like a bunch of footballers who died, I'm sure I'd just be like, I don't really care that much.
I would not care at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, unless it was William the Refrigerator Perry, then
he's already
care.
Dead.
No, he's alive.
No, he died like a long time ago.
No. Hold on.
This is how much I care about sports ball right here. Get him back in your hobbit feet.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, all right.
There you go. I was like,
well, who's the Bears football man that died?
You're thinking Walter Payton. That's who you're thinking.
Yeah,
Walter
Payton Manning. That's the one.
Yeah, Walter Payton died a long time ago. They had a museum for him at the Roundhouse in Aurora, because it used to be Walter Payton's Roundhouse.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah. But anyway,
sports are bad, and people who like sports should feel bad.
What, you didn't watch the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl?
I sure didn't.
No? You didn't see the commercials and how important they are to our relevant interests?
Well, here's the thing about the commercials and the Stupid Bowl. At this point, they're all up on YouTube weeks before they're on the fucking big game. Like, it's all I saw on YouTube was just like, big game ad, big game ad. I'm like, why am I watching? Why would I watch big game commercials? Who fucking gives a shit? Fucking weirdos. Like, I'm hoping that the younger generation care. Like, if the sports card collectible industry is any indication, and I can only hope that this is true, the younger generations are caring less and less about professional sports, because the sports card industry is deeply struggling, and it's only surviving because people who are basically our age and up are spending money on sports memorabilia, like buying cards and stuff like that. So the industry still exists because there are still people to buy it, but it's in decline, and it's always in decline. So I can only hope that means that the younger generations don't give a fuck about sports. And as time drags on, eventually sports will become a memory, because professional sports are a bane on the taxpayer. They're a bane on people who live in cities with stadiums. They're a bane on poor people where they put up in poor countries where they put up gigantic fucking stadiums and just like literally wreck people's lives for fucking sport ball. Like,
yeah.
They're a goddamn public nuisance.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
I can, like I said, I can only hope.
Yeah, it's I don't necessarily think that we me and you can we can hate sports together, Steve. We can hold hands and jerk each other off about how much we hate sports.
Good. I don't really hate the sports themselves; I just hate the professional sports. Like the shit they do is fucking nonsense. Like I don't like the fact that that the money that the government steals from me to pay for things.
They don't really steal from you. It's kind of a contract.
Well, see, it's not a contract because I'd have some fucking choice in the matter. And I'd be like, I would like to not send any of my money you're taking always to sportballs. No tax for sportballs. No tax for Boy Scouts.
Well, that's
no tax for, you know.
Well, that's kind of that's what I say. It's like it's a contract in that when you elect an official in a republic democracy, it's that you are electing a person who is going to vote for your interests and give your tax money to your interests. Now,
except that's not going to work. You know that doesn't work.
But that's the thing is that it's a group effort. So this person, this representative for you, has to work amongst other representatives. Well, not only does a group of large amounts of people have to somehow come together and compromise to find a candidate who shares their interests, but they also have to work together. That representative has to work amongst other people who have differing interests about what they're going to spend the money for. So it's not like we can have a direct democracy, because a direct democracy would basically mean slavery still exists.
You think it doesn't?
Well, I mean, but I mean, like, in a more overt fashion.
You think it doesn't?
Yes, it does not. Slavery in the United States does not truly exist, like, in terms of slavery.
I mean,
you could make an argument.
It's not an institution, but it definitely is out there.
Slavery as an institution does not exist. But yes, slavery does exist, and it's still illegal.
This is true.
But it's not necessarily a legal form of slavery.
This is correct.
But
it's not legal.
But I'm also saying that if we had direct democracy, Irish would still not be able to get jobs in certain places because they're Irish. You know, real racism would sit like institutionalized racism wouldn't just be something that people were like, this is institutional racism. No, it's not because of this. And we could have like an argument back and forth. No, it would be real institutionalized racism. It would be like, no, black people can't work here. That's what it would be like.
Just like literally like,
yeah,
nah.
All right. So go to Planet Arbitrary.
Planet Politicast.
Go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page, /Game Classy Podcast.
Yeah.
The best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes under Game Classy Podcast, all one word. While you're on iTunes, you can look up our other podcasts. Right now, the Planet Arbitrary podcast is no more. It's been wiped clean
by the wrath of God.
So now Comic Book Logic has its own feed.
I believe that was also a card illustrated by Christopher Rush.
What?
Wrath of God.
So Comic Book Logic has its own feed right now, and that's me and Kevin. We talk about comic book movies. Deadpool is going to be next Sunday, so look forward to that one.
I recommend it.
Go see the movie so you don't get it spoiled for you, because it's going to be a spoiler-heavy podcast. Past Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On, will be getting its own feed as well. You could also listen to Gabe the Game Classy Podcast on the YouTube's page, where you could like, comment, subscribe as well. Do I have anything else that I need to plug? Oh, yeah. We could also listen to our updates on our Reddit page, Game Classy, our Game Classy. So, Steve, do we have anything else that we need to plug?
MLG Pro!
Well, I was just looking for plugs.
Oh.
Okay. So, Steve, until next time.
MLG Pro!
Game Classy.